Welcome to the program Old Testament Prophets with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Shalom Aleichem. The peace of God be with you. My name is Father Mitchell Pacwa. I'm a Jesuit priest and a professor of Old Testament at Loyola University of Chicago. We're going through a series on the prophets, and we've begun to look at the prophet Amos, a prophet of the 8th century B.C., living during the reign of King Jeroboam II, the king of Israel, and King Uzziah, the king of Judah, and working sometime perhaps in the 760s, after these two kings had been kings perhaps for 20 years or so. We've taken a look at the first couple chapters of the book of Amos. And in Amos, we've seen how the nations are attacked verbally by Amos for all of their international sins, sins against one nation after another. But the whole of these oracles is culminated, sort of led to a head by Amos when he attacks Israel. Now, each one of these oracles against the nations and the oracle against Israel are all what we call covenant lawsuits. That each nation has broken a covenant. And we're going to talk more about what kind of covenant they had in a future episode. But the real emphasis, the real thrust, the high point of all of this attack is when Amos speaks against Israel for having broken the covenant they had with Yahweh. He attacks them especially for all kinds of social injustice, you know, selling people, making them slaves, taking collateral and keeping it and so forth that was forbidden by the law. But now, I'd like to go on with this oracle against Israel to see another aspect of it, because Amos was very much preaching against the people because Israel had broken the covenant. In spite of all that Yahweh had done for Israel, Israel was guilty of great sin. So open up to Amos chapter 2. And you'll find Amos right after Joel, which is right after Hosea, which is right after Daniel, in the section on the prophets. And we'll start off here with verse 9. We didn't get to that in our last episode because we want to talk about what Yahweh has done for Israel. And so he says, "But," or we could say "yet," "but I destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks." Now the Amorites is the name of one of the peoples that had lived in the land of Canaan. There are lots of little people, lots of little nations. And the Amorites are one of them. And Yahweh says, "I destroy these Amorites before them," before Israel, that is. And even though they were so tall, and as a matter of fact, if you think back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, how Yahweh says that he had destroyed these nations, or that he will destroy the nations, that was a promise back in Deuteronomy, and the promise was to knock them down no matter how tall they were, because his people was chosen by Yahweh. And Yahweh did it for Israel. He destroyed these other peoples, not because Israel was so good, because Israel wasn't so good. He did it because these other people were so bad. And he just simply chosen Israel because he wanted to. So he did all this goodness for them, and yet the people sinned. He goes on to say, "I also brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you for 40 years in the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite." Now, when we had looked at Moses, we took a look at the Ten Commandments briefly and how part of the covenant that we see in the Ten Commandments was to say, I am Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt, that house of slaves. Yahweh identifies himself to the people of Israel as the one who delivered them from Egypt and brought them out of slavery. Because they know him by what he has done for them. They know who Yahweh is by the salvation that he has done for them. And also, this is true for us Christians, that we know Jesus by what he has done for us. We know who God is as Father because of Jesus showing us the Father. We understand God by his saving acts of dying on the cross, rising from the dead, sending down the Holy Spirit, and beginning his church. Well, so also did Israel understand who they were and who God is by what God did for them. He goes on to say, was it enough that I did that? But look, in verse 11, I also raised up from your sons prophets, and of young men, Nazarites. Is not even this so, O you children of Israel, says Yahweh? So Yahweh says, look, it wasn't even enough for me to bring you from Egypt, but I continue to communicate to you. I gave you my spirit through the prophets and through the Nazarites. The prophets would speak God's word. They would be in communion with God and speak the word of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. The Nazarites would help lead the people in battle. They were people who would take a vow not to cut their hair, not to drink wine, and sometimes to refrain from sexual relations, so that they could be completely dedicated to serving Yahweh and helping his people in battle. And so he did all of this and helped them all. And it's the same thing in the church, how the Lord through the centuries has given the Holy Spirit and raised up for us different saints to help us through miracles, to help us through teaching. But then he goes on to say in verse 12, but you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and you commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. And so the people thwarted God's will. God's will was to speak through the prophets and to lead through the Nazarites. But they made the Nazarites break their vows. Just the way sometimes in our own culture, people are called upon by the culture to break their vows. Oh, go ahead. Break your marriage vow. It doesn't matter. Oh, go ahead. If you're a celibate, leave your order. That these Nazarites, these vowed people, were told to break their vows by the people, and it's thwarted God's will. He said, therefore, behold, I will make it creak under you as a cart creaks that is full of sheaves. In other words, it's like a cart full of sheaves of wheat that sort of moans and groans as it goes through, as the wood creaks along, and it's heavier and heavier, and it creaks louder and louder because of the great weight upon them. And the reason for that is their sins have multiplied. Their bad deeds have increased. Those who are swift, those who can run quickly, shall not be able to fly away. So flight shall fail the swift. The strong will not be strong. They will not have strength. And the mighty will not be able to deliver himself. The one who is a bowman, the one who has weapons, can't save himself. No one can deliver himself because Yahweh has said, this punishment that I'm going to bring on you will happen. There's no escape for all your great sins in spite of my goodness to you. We're going through the prophet Amos. And we'd like you to take a look at chapter 3 of the book of Amos. Now here we're going to see a number of different oracles, that is, sayings of the Lord given through Amos. They're not all connected to each other logically, okay? And we're going to see how sometimes these don't seem to flow one after the other exactly, but they're just roughly the same theme. The reason for that is this. When the prophets spoke, they would write down each individual saying, probably on a broken piece of pottery, because they didn't have paper yet. And then later on, their disciples would gather all these pieces of old dishes that they wrote on, and then they would put them together in a book. All right, so that's why it doesn't always seem to flow so smoothly like we might expect. Well, let's take a look at the next part of this collection of sayings. And it says this in chapter 3. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying. All right, now first of all, we're going to see again and again in the next couple chapters that Yahweh will say, hear this word, Shim'u et hadavar hazeh. Nashim-u is a word, a command to a group of people. Doesn't just mean you as an individual, but this is a plural imperative. That is, all of you, or as we say down here in the South, y'all listen up to this word of Yahweh. And it's against this, the children of Israel, the whole family I brought up from Egypt. Once again, Yahweh brings back the covenant that he made with Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. And this oracle is another covenant lawsuit. He's charging them with breaking the covenant, with being unfaithful to him who saved them out of Egypt. And he says, "You only, you alone have I known of all the families of earth. All the peoples around the world, I've known only you." There's even a Jewish tradition that Yahweh had gone to every single nation and had asked them to be his chosen people. And the rabbi said that eventually only Moses would accept this command and this call. And it says, because of that, because I chose you from all the peoples of the world, therefore I will visit upon you all your iniquities. Now the word visit is a good word, pakad. It's a word that means to visit, it also means to punish. It reminds me of what my mother always used to say, you just wait till your father comes home. Okay, so when dad comes to visit, you know, then you're going to get punished. But she didn't just mean, oh, it's going to be great when dad's home for dinner, but she meant I was going to be in trouble, which I deserve. And it's the same kind of thing. You wait till I come to visit you, that is, to punish you. The sense of this text here is that because Israel knows Yahweh, and the word know, yada, in Hebrew, has a special sense of being in relationship. That's why it says in the book of Genesis that Adam knew his wife Eve. He was in an intimate relationship with Eve. And so also is Israel in an intimate relationship with Yahweh. And because they're in that relationship and they're so special, Yahweh will visit upon them all your iniquities. You should know better than to commit these sins. You know the Ten Commandments. You know what God has commanded you. You know that the law of God is not so high that it's up in the sky and you can't reach it. It's not across the ocean. It's not far away. It's close to your heart. Therefore, because you should know better, because you should know Yahweh, he will visit all of your iniquities upon you. And then we see, beginning in verse 3, another oracle, completely different. And it starts off, now do two people walk along together, unless they've agreed to do so? In other words, two friends don't just sort of happen to bump into each other in the middle of a desert road and then, you know, start to walk together. No, they make a plan. Let's get together and go for a walk so that we can have a walk together. Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Now, I don't know lions, but Amos does. He lived off with the shepherds. And so he knows lions don't roar unless they have prey. Will a young lion give forth his voice out of his den if he has taken nothing? No. He's not going to roar out of pride that he's gotten an animal. Does a bird fall in a snare upon the earth when there's no lure for it? In other words, you can't say have a bird get caught in a net unless you put some seed there, something to trap it, something to attract it. Birds don't fall into nets by accident. Will a snare spring up from the ground and have taken nothing at all? In other words, snares just are laying there and they have little traps. And they don't spring up with their captives unless something falls in it. Is a horn blown in the city and the people do not tremble? And shall evil befall a city unless Yahweh has done it? Now what's Amos saying? He's saying, look, none of these other things happen by accident. Lions don't roar by accident. Snares don't get snapped by accident. Birds don't get caught by accident. Neither does a city get destroyed by accident. Yahweh brings it down upon them. And therefore, when Samaria, the capital of the north, is destroyed, they are to know that this is no accident. This is not something that just happened by chance. Yahweh has done it. Then he goes on in verse 7. For the Lord Yahweh, Adonai Yahweh, will do nothing unless he reveals his counsel to his servants, the prophets. Now, this is an incredible text to me, because he reveals, Galah, his counsel. Now, the word counsel here doesn't just mean advice. It's a special word called sod in Hebrew. And the word sod is used in Psalm 55 to mean the special kind of relationship that friends have, when friends talk together and chat together and share deeply together. And Amos is saying that's the kind of counsel that we prophets have with Yahweh. Even though you try to shut us prophets up, we prophets are in a close relationship like a companion of Yahweh, like a friend. And as a matter of fact, you and I are to be into the same kind of relationship. By our baptism, each one of us shares in the gift of prophecy. And because we share in the gift of prophecy, because Jesus is a prophet and we belong to Jesus, we are also to be into this close companionship with God. And Yahweh will reveal to us His will to us. He'll show us what He plans for us. Then in verse 8, we see one more of these oracles. Again, kind of unrelated. But it says, the lion roars. Who will not fear? Yahweh has spoken. Who can but prophesy? In other words, because Amos is in this close companionship with Yahweh, when he hears Yahweh's words, when he's in that sweet companionship, that sweet counsel with Yahweh, how can he help but prophesy? Because Amos identifies himself with Yahweh. He wants to be part of Yahweh. He wants to speak for Yahweh. So when Yahweh speaks to him, he must speak. We're going through some of the oracles of Amos that we find in chapter 3. Now look at verse 9 of chapter 3 in Amos. And see how it says, Hashmi'u al armanot ba'ashtod. Hashmi'u. That's a word that means make it heard, cause it to be heard. And as a matter of fact, very frequently, Yahweh will use a special form of the verb to Amos and say, cause this to happen. And the reason for that is that Yahweh wants to cause changes in history. And He's going to use His prophet Amos to change and transform history. So cause to be heard in the palaces or the forts of Ashdod and upon the palaces in the land of Egypt. Now, Ashdod was one of the cities of the Philistines, an enemy of Israel. And Egypt was another enemy of Israel, the place. But now Yahweh says, tell them about this. I got some news to tell them. Tell them, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria. Hey, all you guys in Philistia and all you people in Egypt, come here, I got something to show you. Can we talk? I want to show you this. Behold the great confusions in Samaria and all the oppressions in the midst of it. Now, Samaria is the capital of the people of Israel. There should not be confusion there. They have the law of God. They have the prophets. They have the Nazarites. The people taking vows to God. And yet, the people of Egypt and Philistia said, look at the confusions there. Now, can we identify this in our own culture and sometimes even in our own church? To look at the confusions that people present. Confusing the doctrine. Confusing morals. Teaching false things. And the Lord says to the enemies of Israel, look at these confusions. For thus says Yahweh, they do not know how to do right. That's amazing. They've got the law from Moses and yet they do not know how to do right. How many times do people say that? And yet all they have to do is open up their scripture. And they can see the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, I even heard recently that some like 80% of the people of this culture say that the Ten Commandments ought to be followed. But of those 80%, when they asked what are the Ten Commandments, less than 20% knew what they were. They don't know. They don't know how to do what is right. They store up violence and robbery in their palaces. That is, they go out and they steal from the poor. And they use robbery and they store that up for themselves. Therefore, because of all these things, thus says the Lord Yahweh, an adversary, even around the land, that is, an adversary will come and surround the country. And he shall bring down strength from you. And your palaces shall be spoiled. He's going to take and destroy your nation and take all the stuff that you've saved. Thus says Yahweh in verse 12, as the shepherd rescues out of the mouth of the lion two legs or the piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel rescue things from Samaria. Now picture this. See in your own mind, a lion has just grabbed a young lamb, and the shepherd catches him. And a shepherd who loves that lamb and has to take care of it runs after the lamb while the lion still has it in the mouth. It's already dead. And as the lion tears at it, the shepherd pulls away, maybe gets a leg of it. Or maybe grabs on the head and just is able to pull off an ear. And that's all he can save. And the prophet Amos says to the people of Samaria, that's all of the stuff that you're going to be able to save. You will escape with the corner of a couch, with the leg of a bed. Just a little piece of your stuff. You can't take the things you have with you when you die. You're going to escape with really nothing when you die. Hear ye and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord Yahweh, the God of hosts. For, in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I shall also punish the altars of Bethel. Now this is a very important term here. The day of his visitation. Again, visit means to punish. And we can go back to the time in which Moses had found the people of Israel worshiping at the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. And after the people have been punished and made to drink of the water with the calf dust in it, then Moses is told by the Lord, on the day of my visitation, I will visit them because of this sin of the golden calf. Now, he says the same thing, that on the day of my visitation, I will punish the altars of Bethel, altars which had a golden calf, a serious sin, a sin that we see in the book of Kings repeated again and again. Every dynasty, every generation continued the sin of Bethel, the sin of the golden calf. And the promise made through Moses in Exodus 32 is now repeated by Amos right here, that on the day of visitation I will punish the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. That even the place where they go to worship is going to be have to suffer because it is false worship. Worship with a false altar, worship with a golden calf. And I will strike the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivy shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says Yahweh. The people used to have, the rich people that is, let's emphasize that it's the rich people, had a summer home and a winter home. They had a summer home in Samaria, where it was cool and up high. They had a winter home down in the Jordan Valley. And they'd go there because it stayed warm through most of the winter. And so, these people were rich enough to have two homes. Meanwhile, they were taking the property of the poor away from the poor, and the poor were suffering. And how much, too, we have to reflect ourselves on how we might have so much when there are people in Ethiopia and other places starving to death. People are brother Catholics, brothers and sister Catholics throughout the world who are suffering. Brother and sister Christians in other countries are suffering starvation. Well, we have so much. Maybe we have to examine our own conscience about what we have. Amos gives one more oracle, and he says now to women, rich women, says, hear this word, Shim'u, listen y'all, to this word, you big fat cows of Bashan. Now the cows of Bashan were the best cows in the land. And he says, the women of the city of Samaria who are rich are like fat cows that trample down on the poor the way cows trample on the grass. And they say, bring me more wine so we can feast. And Yahweh has sworn that you'll be taken away with hooks in your noses, and you'll be led off into exile. That those who are rich will suffer. And doesn't Jesus our Lord say that? He said, blessed are you poor, for you shall inherit the earth. But woe to you rich, because you enjoy things now. Let us hear the words of Jesus, so that we can be called to generosity, so that we can be called to justice. Let us hear the words of Amos, so that we can do what is right in the eyes of God. God bless you. Thank you.
Jesus, the Lamb of God.